plus de ressources, visitez le www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Issues that I want to address that, but then I think it's important for you all to understand this perspective as well. It's 2023, and Filipino movies still have blackface in it. Black people are still the butt of the joke, and a lot of times it's somebody playing blackface with the wig on. In fact, there's a famous like comedian who wears this Afro wig. I remember, because I do love Filipino movies, they're predictable a lot of times, but I still love it, you know. And one of my favorite actors is Vice Ganda. Maybe because on Netflix and all of that, you know, Vice Ganda is in all of the movies. But I remember watching Beauty and the Bestie. And Vice Ganda also played that beauty queen. And the only difference was that he put on a wig with hair like mine. And everybody was like, oh my God, that's hideous. So I'm like, yeah, but that looks like me, you know? So what is that saying about me? When I watch these movies, as I've watched over time, that actors, the lead actors, are becoming more and more half white. Not even like what we see in this room. There is a glorification of this half whiteness. You know, even in our families and kasama, sometimes we hear people say, oh, like two half white people. Oh, if you only go to the Philippines, you will be so popular. You will be so thin. Only for being half white. What is that? Is that not anti-Asian? Is that not anti-Filipinas? Like, we have to really shift not just our mentalities, but shift this energy that glorifies so much what we are not. Because you look around, this room is beautiful. So many different shades, so many different things. I look for the day when an Aita is playing themselves, but not as some sort of specimen. Oh, we reached the Aita village, and you know, these are the primitive people. Like, I don't want to see that. Like, when can they be the romance lead? When can they be the doctor or the business owner? Like, the Philippines has so many, you know, like you mentioned, over 104 different ethnic groups that are there in the Philippines. Let's see more diversity. Let's see a reflection of what we are. Because combating some of this anti-Asianness comes from healing ourselves from within. We have a lot to unpack amongst Filipinos. Like, how can we decolonize the rest of it if we approach it with colonization already so like pervasive in the way that we are now? My father is from San Juanga. My mother was born in the States, Afro-Latina, Puerto Rican. My parents tried to raise us as humans. And it didn't work. We moved to the South. I'm originally from New York. We moved to the Southeast United States in North Carolina at a time when there were not a lot of Filipinos. My father also grew up isolated from his family because he was separated. It has to do with the war. Who was permitted to immigrate? Who wasn't? My grandfather died when he was young, so he grew up by himself. He grew up in New York. And without him saying, I feel like he had an identity struggle, kind of like what you were talking about. And he found most community among Black people. So he identifies as Black to this day. He raised us to be human, but once my parents saw the issue in that, they told us we were just Black. What he didn't know is that as I was navigating the world as just Black, that also caused issues because there were spaces that I would go in and people would tell me I'm not black either. So it's like, you don't belong to anybody. Like, you're just in this world and everybody tells you that you are not part of them. So to keep us involved, even with our identity now as black, my father would take us, we became part of the Filipino Association. We would go to the events, and the people were so mean to me. It was so hurtful, and in my young mind, I figured out why. It was because I didn't have Maria Clara. Because every time we went to the events, all the Filipinos were wearing Maria Clara, so I said, if I just get one of those butterfly dresses, they will know I'm Filipina then. So a lot of my life, part of my dream, like I just released an album called Ugat Filipino. And the first song is Ugat Filipino. And in the chorus, I talk about, I come from butterfly sleeves, Maria Clara. The people so kind is just like a superpower, right? So still in my mind, in my grown mind, I'm feeling like, oh, this is part of our Filipino identity until I understand better where this Maria Clara came from, where these butterfly sleeves came from. And then it makes me understand how that is also part of the rejection too. So my construction of self has changed over time. Being Filipina has been traumatic, it has been hurtful, it has been such that it's not just rejection. It's when you're so proud and love your roots so much, and people look at you in the face and say, no, you're not. You're not Filipina. You're not. And it's done in such a vile, nasty way that it just made me say, well, forget it. I'm not part of you. I don't want to be Filipina. I don't want to be affiliated. I don't want to be associated. I started putting the accent on my last name, Alarcón, and I started identifying just as Puerto Rican. Nobody questioned me when I'm Puerto Rican. My first film is called Latinegras, and I went to Puerto Rico to see if that's what my true identity was, because I was seeking where is home, because I didn't feel home anywhere. The United States was not home. I felt like an alien everywhere. I felt like I didn't belong, even in my family. So it hurts. It's a deep hurt. It's not just a, you hurt my feelings. No, you hurt my spirit. You hurt my soul. And this is what I have been living with for most of my life. It has not been easy. But I have to speak to you on a different level, Because it wasn't just about a historical search or even a blood search. We are spiritual people. And for me, I had a dream. And it was so funny, one statement. It was one situation that happened to me that completely shifted my life. I had a dream about my grandfather, and I kept seeing all these stingrays. I mean, because of time, I won't be able to tell you the whole story. But my ancestors led me back, dragging my feet, because I didn't want to identify as Filipino. But they made me. And some of you will understand this, some of you won't. And that's all right. But it is truly the ancestors who brought me back here. And when I listened to them and followed that path, everything in my life came in sync. I found my grandfather, because remember I said we were separated. I found my family from the Philippines. I went to visit them for 1 week and ended up staying with them for 1 year. And when I got with them, everything about me started making sense. It has nothing to do with color. It has nothing to do with what you look like. Your spirit vibrates off of a particular energy. And when I was with them, who I was or who I am in this world, it started making sense. I went back with my family, and that was a very magical experience. And ever since I started identifying with my roots, ever since I started identifying as Filipina, the most amazing thing has happened, just like how I ended up here. This was not planned. I was not originally on this program, but it's the ancestors who put us where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there. I also, in addition to finding Afro-Filipina, I'm starting to use the term Magandang Itim. We have Magandang Moreno. Yeah, thank you. because, and this is not to take away from the movement of Magandang Mujeres. You know, I think what Aisha Jackson did is very important. But as I'm typing in that and scrolling through that, people are not looking like me. You know, there is a real anti-blackness that exists in the Filipino community. And it's not just skin color, because my skin color might be morena, you know? But my hair is not morena, you know? My body shape is not morena. I'm an African, and I recognize that. But it shouldn't be a punishment. This should not be something that feels like a stain when I walk in the room. It's trauma. But I'm trying not just to find my own peace and my own beauty, but create a space where other people who look like me, whether they are half, there are some whole Filipinos who look just like me. So they also need that upliftment. So I say, Magandang Itim, and I'm so proud to be Filipina and to be Itim.
So we're gonna pass around. We're gonna pass around the Play-Doh microphone over again because the theme is Laro, but we will talk about something. I mean, I laugh about it, but maybe that's my coping mechanism.
Yeah.
You know, one of those things. Yeah. You guys want the one question? Okay. It's one question. How do you guys feel about anti-blackness in the Filipino community? Like, what is, like, I've been told, the first thing my parents ever told me was, you came from the poop of a carabao. That's why you're darker than everyone else in the family. I've since embraced it. Fuck it. I'm a carabao.
What a beautiful boy.
Thank you. And the next thing is, like, don't go in the sun. You get too dark. You look dirty. You look dugyot. But now I've since tried to embrace my dark skin. How do we feel about it?
Hello. So, for context, I do pageants. So, my last pageant was Miss Asia Canada, and I won Ontario. So, oh yeah, my name is Anne-Marie Elpa. When I think of anti-blackness in Filipino culture, I really think of beauty standards and how, of course, colonialism has taken so much of, you know, why do we skin lighten? Why do we use, like, you know, the ivy drip, which is apparently now illegal in the Philippines. You know, there's a whole scandal of, like, I think a senator's wife was, like, just doing the IV drip in, like, a government building. It was like, yeah, no, like, how can you disrespect, like, government? But when I think of anti-blackness in Filipino culture, I really think of how colonialism has affected so much of what we perceive to be beautiful. And, you know, foreign beauty standards, even, you know, in Canada as well, like, you know, the light hair and light eyes and light skin. But I think it's more so having, again, these conversations, diversifying our beauty, you know, raising and amplifying our voices so that we can actually, you know, I wouldn't say overcome it, but more so unlearn certain behaviors. Like, even for myself, I'm unlearning certain things, even, you know, being in pageants as well and, you know, being okay with, you know, being in the sun and, you know, enjoying myself. So, yeah.
Hey, guys, it's Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
At Sam Narb. One of the examples that I want to use for anti-blackness in the Philippines would definitely be the endless amounts of whitening creams, whitening products. I actually did a paper on it my senior year. Coming from personal experience, I actually grew up in New York, you know. Everybody wants to be tan. In the summer, you got to be tan as possible, you know. That's how they know that you got a house in the Hamptons. So it was such a culture shock when I went home when I was 16. And even, okay, here's an example. Like, half white celebrities that are famous in the Philippines are promoting whitening creams. Mm-hmm. And at the age of 16, I mean, I kept asking myself, even at the age of 18, like, what can we do? Because money. They Filipinos, we all have to make money. It's a source of livelihood. But how do we change the perception, especially to young girls right now, especially on TikTok? I know, like, TikTok varies for each, like, demographic, but I can only imagine, like TikTok Philippines with rampant whitening creams. You need this. Whitening serums.
Or, like, Gluta.
Gluta, exactly. Exactly.
It's so unnatural. That's the biggest thing about it, right?
Like, hello, I'm Rumili.
Just want to add to that. So, again, I think it's about this rethinking our identity and, like, re-engaging with our identity. Like, there's always this this idea of, like, oh, be happy with who you are, but then also the constant marketing of, like you said, whitening products or things to discourage you from actually appreciating what you are. And who you are. Yeah. And that is your skin. Like, that's part of who you are. And, like, that's so unfortunate that there is an anti-black culture in the Filipino community. Mm-hmm. But I can also see it. Like, as that question was mentioned, I'm like, oh, I actually had... Like, I hadn't been aware of this question until now. But, like, as everyone had spoken about it, it's like, oh, it really does. It is such a big thing. Like, we grew up to not love our color, to not love our skin, and, like, even the hair colors and all that. So, and then, yeah, like, you come to, like, a place like Canada where people here want to be tan. Like, someone had, like, I would get multiple compliments on, like, oh, I love your skin. It's so tan, like, naturally, yeah. You don't have to go out. But then, like, culturally, like, back home, there's just this dislike for who we are. So, it's such a great topic to really discuss, but then also don't shy away from just discovering who you are, and that also is, your skin is part of who you are.
Yeah. Be proud of your Filipino skin, you know? Be proud of whatever skin that you have. Yes.
The biggest lie in Philippine history is that the Aitab, or Black Indigenous people of the Philippines, were the first humans to arrive there.
What's going on, people? It seems like the internet is really popping right now. So, because of that, I want to play this video and talk about what I really think about it. Now, bear in mind, I'm still learning a lot about Filipinx or Filipina history. So I want to make that disclaimer first, that I don't claim that I know anything or everything about it. Let's get into it.
3,000 years ago as the first modern humans. Humans have been in the Philippines for about 709,000 years.
Okay.
If the Black Indigenous people of the Philippines arrived 40,000 years ago and ancient humans were on Luzon 709,000 years ago, how can the Black Indigenous people of the Philippines be first?
Okay, let's start with this. One of the reasons why I take issue with this video and even this post is not because what they're saying may or may not be true. I'm not here to dispute that. I'm on the journey to do research, but my background is research. I have a research degree from Cornell University. So I'm not just talking to you as somebody on social media. I'm somebody who has written books that I had to do research on. So the first issue with this is that, to me, hearing the way that they phrase things begins with the premise of anti-blackness. See, I even hit my microphone on that. It begins with the premise of anti-blackness. And the reason why I say that is because they keep emphasizing this phrase, the Black Indigenous.
Or Black Indigenous people.
Yet when they refer to all other people, nobody else is referred to by their color.
Humans of N, Homo lozonosis, Homo sapiens, ancient human.
Why is it so important to distinguish blackness?
Some say Homo lozonosis, the 4 foot, no inches tall ancient human discovered on Luzon,
ancient
could
human.
Be the ancestor of the black indigenous people of the Philippines.
Of the black
Since they are
indigenous
both diminutive,
people.
And Homo lozonosis existed on Luzon about the same time Homo sapiens arrived.
Just a little question, because they talk about Homo sapiens. This is like Darwin's structure of the evolution of humans, you know, Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Homo sapiens, etc. My question is, if all human beings came out of Africa and these people predated early human beings, then what color were these people? Unless Africans started as white and then as whiteness mixed with other darker communities, I don't know. How do you get black from white? I was going to try to make it make sense, but I can't make it make sense. Let's keep watching.
There's disputed evidence that 6 foot tall Homo erectus...
Like, who molded this? Anyway.
...survived less than 50,000 years ago in Taiwan, the Philippines, and on the Indonesian island of Sulawesi.
I have seen the early pictures of people from Taiwan, of people from Japan, of people from throughout the Asian diaspora. And they all, I was going to say they all look like me. All right, let's keep watching. I like the music.
You may be wondering, why am I talking about 4 foot tall and 6 foot tall archaic humans?
I am wondering that.
When modern man reached island Southeast Asia.
Oh my God. What's the name of that? Oh, what's the name of that music guy? Bon Jovi. This dude looked like that guy who in the 80s had that hair, you know, and he used to sing. Who chose these pictures, man? Like, this is verifiable. You got to do more research.
50,000 years ago, there were at least 4 other archaic humans.
Rod Stewart. He looked like Rod Stewart.
That occupied the area. They mixed with these people before they became extinct. Just because science calls these humans archaic does not mean that our ancestors' memories did not flow through them. Archaic or not, these genes exist within each person of Philippine heritage, and they existed in the Philippines before the black indigenous people.
Here we go again. Like, I need to insert a face palm because why do they keep saying the black indigenous? What I get from this video is really what they're trying to do is to discredit blackness. They want to make sure that you know that you don't come from black people. That's utter bullshit. And I have to say that because we really got to dig deeper into these histories and nuance them more. I am not saying the Aita were the first people. I am not saying that at all. I'm saying I need to do more research and see who the first people are. But this, you take the anti-blackness out of it so I could see what the reality is. If you are only referring to the Aita as the black indigenous and nobody else has color designated, everybody else in this video is called a human. Are you telling me that the Aitas are not human too? Like, what kind of thing is this? This is what I mean by colonial histories. We really have to decolonize and look at how we look at history.
How do we know this? The genetics of Neanderthal, Denisovan, and 2 other undiscovered archaic humans were found in our DNA. So far, the earliest discovered remains of modern man in the Philippines is Taban Man, and he lived around 45,000 BC. Please note that he was not Aita or a black indigenous person of the Philippines.
Not Aita or a black indigenous person.
Are believed to be the descendants of Taban Man.
Now, he then put up the picture of Rod Stewart and Rocky Balboa from the last slide, and then he put up somebody who looks like my brother. Like, legit, this dude looks just like my actual brother. So I'm still not understanding. How do we go from Rod Stewart to this? You know, they're trying to discredit Black people and say that we don't come from Black people, but this man is, you know, beautiful Black.
This is a member of that tribe.
That's why I say magandang itim, because being morena is not enough. In skin color, I might be, you know, I'm talking about complexion. In complexion, I might be morena, but in terms of how I'm perceived by this world, it is not my morenaness that people are offended by. It is my Blackness. And I think that is the issue that people are having with the Itas being original. This is why I want to do the research for myself, find the answers for myself. Because are you telling me Itas are not original? Because they're really not original. I can accept that. I can definitely accept that and learn more about that history. So I really get the answer of where do we come from? But on the other hand, if you don't want them to be the original people, because that means that you, as somebody who is anti-Black, came from somebody Black, it's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it? It means that you hate yourself. And maybe that's what you hate about me. That's what, I don't mean you in particular, whoever may be watching this, but maybe that's what's so offensive about me. Because you see my face and I look more like the Aita people, the original people, than some of the people who tell me I don't look Filipina. I don't know. Let's continue to dig into history, but let's not just accept everything that we see for face value. Again, I'm not just coming to you as somebody trying to be an influencer. I'm an educated Afro-Filipina woman who studied at Cornell, also studied at the University of Cambridge in the UK. But the truth is the truth, and I'm here to uncover it. So this is Afro-Filipina. Magandang itim. This is why we need it. Because our culture and world history is so anti-Black.
Now y'all know you lying.
Oh, Afro-Filipina, you know they be lying.
Through the fire, morning and proud, beautifully themed. It's just an ordinary day in the life of this queen.
It's just an ordinary day in the life of this queen. It's just an ordinary day.
Never forget who you are.
What's up, familia? I'm coming to you right now to address some of the comments that I got under my post when the girl was saying that she gets confused for being Black a lot of times, and people were saying that she's denying her Blackness. So I made a comment to the effect of, we have to revisit these terms because we're deeper than Black. Who were we before we were Black? So I'm addressing this from two different ways. One, because I'm Afro-Filipina, which means I'm Black and Filipina. I want to address it first from the perspective of being Black, and then I want to get deeper into how this relates definitely to Filipino identity. First of all, one of the reasons why I said that we have to revisit this term Black and ask ourselves, and that we are deeper than that, is because our true identities were stolen from us. We became Black through the transatlantic slave trade. Why? Because before then we had names. You know, we were Fulani, we were Wolof, we were Yoruba, we were Mande. We had our own indigenous names that we carried for generations. But during the transatlantic slave trade, there was a necessity to establish a hierarchy that created superiority over who they deemed inferior. And who was inferior? And this is the reason why this connects to other places in the world. And that is that during that time, it had to be established that what was superior was whiteness. What was inferior was anything that was not white. And it still persists until today. I became Black, universally Black, not just for my own personal pride and identity. We have reclaimed it in pride and personal identity. But that Blackness was also a means of control and domination. That said that, you know, in the United States, they even had the one drop rule to penalize, to determine that you don't get a seat, you don't get let in, because it had to do with ownership of property and who would have freedom and who would be kept enslaved. So that also wasn't a sense of pride, the one drop rule, one drop of black blood makes you black. No, that one drop makes you black because that was a tool that was used to oppress black people around the world. Now, returning back to what happened other places in the world, that same system was repeated all over the world. It was repeated in India. It was repeated in the Philippines. You know, in India, they have the caste system, but they got a caste system in South America too, but they got a caste system in the Philippines too. So I am not saying that there's a problem with being proud to be black, but me, I want my stolen name back. I want to know if I was Yoruba. I want to know if I was Congolese, you know? And then the same thing on the other side. Like, I use the name Afro-Filipina because it is a commonplace for, you know, us to understand. But on the other hand of it, I don't know if I accept this term Filipino because I didn't come from King Felipe. I would feel more like Tagalog because I got roots in Batangas and Bataan, you know? So taking this back to the Philippines, you know, even when I get told I don't look Filipino, I had to pull out my Filipino. Oh, let me take out my Sunkissed Pinay too. But even when it comes to the Philippines, like, it doesn't hurt me when you tell me I don't look Filipino because I don't want to be from King Felipe. You know, we are taking on an identity that praises the one who colonized our ancestors. So if you want to call me something, call me Sambuangenya, call me Tagalog. And these names, they call power to our ancestors. Tagailog, Tagalog. You know, we're river people. We're water people. That means that water gives us strength. But what are we saying when we call ourselves Filipino? That King Felipe gives us strength? That we still belong to Spain? In fact, when this word Filipino was first used, our people were not even considered Filipinos. It was to distinguish those Spaniards who were gentrifying our islands. So, you know, there's problems with all of these names. Yes, there are people who deny blackness, but why do they deny blackness? That's something that we have to ask. People deny blackness for the same reason. It goes back to colonialism. Why? Because blackness was painted as evil. Our indigenous tribes are still painted as evil, are still chased away, are still suppressed, you know? And practicing our traditional practices and spiritualities are considered diabolic, are considered, you know, blasphemous. But why? It was because if you take all these black and brown people all over the world and you make them believe that the epitome of power, spirituality, of the God that you worship looks like an Italian white guy, because, you know, they say Michelangelo, when he painted the Sistine Chapel, that was the first image of what we see as Jesus today, you know, but the region he was from, he would have never looked like that. You know, that's historically known and documented. However, it was also part of this tool, the branding, if you will, of white supremacy. So, you know, sometimes I try to stay in the let's keep the peace mode, you know, which I am like that. I love everybody. I can have knowledge of my ancestry and knowledge of history, but then still have love for all kinds of people. However, we got to deal with truth, and some people are not willing or ready to accept the truth. People run away from this identity of blackness because to be black means to unite yourself with suffering, with the lower rungs of this system of colonization. You know, everywhere in the world,
people turn their nose up at blackness. But this was not invented by us. This is a bigger picture that is affecting people all over the world. I'm not saying that people are justified in it. I'm just saying that colonialism is a hell of a thing. That's all.
Got it, it ain't a question. Oh, it ain't no one for guessing. No more than emotionally invested. Showing you all my imperfections. Oh, if I let you, don't take me for granted. Yeah, if I'm worth more than you could manage. Manage, yeah. Open with me, oh, we could be honest. Closer to me, oh, giving me signs. Promise that you won't let me fall. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life, all night you could be. Telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted, yeah. Cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage. You do damage. Yeah. Worry about it, I'm putting pressure. You'll only cut me if I let you. No, we ain't doing this just for pleasure. Either learn me or I'm a lesson. Going on. If you want me, don't take me for granted. Yeah. Baby, oh, you're falling for me. Oh, baby, I caught it. Oh, we could be whatever you want, call it. Promise that you won't let me fall. Oh, oh, oh. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life, all night you could be. Telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted. Yeah. Cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage. You could do damage. Oh, you could do damage. No, you could do damage. Yeah. Oh, you could do damage.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jemavin Reyes. I am a youth leader and community organizer here bringing you Emerging News back home in the Philippines. The article from GMA Network with the title, Quezon City Holds Commitment Ceremony for LGBTQIA+ Couples Releases Right to Care Cards. Love truly wins in Quezon City. The city proved once again it is an inclusive and safe space for the LGBTQIA+ community in the Philippines. The Quezon City government, spearheaded by the Mayor Joy Belmonte, recently held its annual commitment ceremony for Filipino queer couples last Saturday, February 17, at the QCX Garden in Quezon Memorial Circle. It is an avenue for queer couples to profess their love to their partner. To make it even more wedding-like, the QC government decorated the place with flowers and even had the pairs walk on a red carpet. The ceremony was attended by 210 LGBTQIA+ couples with different sexual orientation, gender identity and expression, or SOGI. Some of the sponsors of the ceremony were Councilors Wente Lagumbay, Nanette Daza, Alfred Vargas, Sami Neri, Outright Action International and Anti-Discrimination Rights Champion Ging Cristobal, and LGBTQIA couple Kaiser Estrada and Michael Enriquez. However, despite its genuine intention, Quezon City's commitment ceremony has no legal backing and is not binding, especially since the Philippine government does not recognize same-sex marriage. The community and a large number of Filipino queers have been pushing to legalize same-sex marriage. Alongside the commitment ceremony, the QZ government also released the first batch of Right to Care cards to 15 recipients. It is part of the city's movement to let LGBTQIA+ couples residing in Quezon City decide for their partner when it comes to healthcare services and emergency. It was first launched during the Pride Month celebration last June 24, 2023, and the Quezon Memorial Circle. The Right to Care card can be used in several hospitals in the city, including Quezon City General Hospital, Novaliches District Hospital, and Rosario Maclang Bautista General Hospital. It was in 2014 when Quezon City launched its Gender Fair Ordinance to ensure that its citizens and are valued and taken care of despite their SOGI. The article was written by Hazel Jane Cruz and published on February 19, 2024. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is Jar Marvin Reyes delivering you Philippine news from abroad.
do it. Watch. When we change the channel with the plies, wet clothes on the porch, we ain't have a dry. Spending food stamps, wait till you leave the stove. Too many in the bed, had to sleep on the floor. Cause my cousin always pee, getting whipped in the morning. Every night, can't sleep, got me tossing and turning. Late night in the kitchen, hear him always fussing. Got my ass beat, I ain't even do nothing. Seen her crying in the kitchen and I don't know why. Call my aunt smoking crack and she got a black eye. Living on focus, hope, and we trying to get by. Sipping on wick juice, wash it down with chili fries. Homie shot at the Coney, hope we survive. Only go to church when someone died. Kids raising kids, all trying to be grown. Things never fix when we come from broken homes. We was young, black, and poor, being raised in Detroit. You can never learn what a nigga been taught. So you was young, black, and poor, being raised in Detroit. You can never learn what a nigga been taught. So you was young, black, and poor, being raised in Detroit. You can never learn what a nigga been taught. So you was young, black, and poor, being raised in Detroit. You can never learn what a nigga been taught.
Detroit City, Detroit City, that's where I live. Right. Feels like poetic justice, you get killed at the drive-in. Who gon' fight you some work? Who gon' fight you some work? Make me fresh from the dirt, put you on a t-shirt. Wanna run like Barry, shoot like Zeke. But in the hood, with a nine on me, like Rodney Pete. Motor City, the Motown, the Fab Five. Police violence, that's how Malice Green died. Coleman Young, Dennis Archer, Kilpatrick. Pissy Mattress in the alley, doing backflips. These hoes ratchet, daddy's absent. But the kids see us doing wrong. Hey, they gonna be us when they grown. But ask them why, be out like Butch Jones. My city show no love. It's hard to fit in the murder mitten like OJ.
You was young, black, and poor, being raised in Detroit. You can never learn what a nigga been taught. So you was young, black, and poor, being raised in Detroit. You can never learn what a nigga been taught. So you was young, black, and poor, being raised in Detroit. Stuck in the middle between Blade and Dilla, surrounded by killers, couldn't see the big picture from a bird's eye view. We ain't had no clue, didn't know what was true, had nothing to lose. Home where the heart is, but where's the love? Feeling lost in the world, they don't care about us. Back to the wall, we ain't had no plan. Everything about the city made me who I am. You can make it here, yeah, yeah, you know the rest. Every day was like a test, if you fail, it's death. Or a trip to Wayne County, hope you don't get sent to Jackson. Middleman taxing to the story, just a fraction. How the system made the vision, but it don't add up. Take away from the hood, never giving back to us. How the system made the vision, but it don't add up. Take away from the hood, never giving back to us. Young, black, and poor, poor. You can never learn. Say you was young, black, and poor, poor. You can never learn what a nigga been taught. Say you was young, black, and poor, can't wait in Detroit. You can never learn what a nigga been taught. Say you was young, black, and poor, can't wait in Detroit. You can never learn what a nigga been taught.
On a question, psychopath.
Four.
Welcome back from commercial break. This is Fanny Cristo, and you are listening to Radio Capua on 90.3 FM every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Our team just spent this weekend in Ottawa for Pinoy's on Parliament 2024, along with the rest of our Centre Capua crew. If you haven't heard of Pinoy's on Parliament, also known as POP, it's an annual conference that's been going on for, I think, about 6 years now, and it was first started to help expose Filipino-Canadians to politics as a way of getting us more engaged and to help us participate in policymaking at different levels, you know, whether through the community or even federally. Centre Capua, as we've done previously, we hosted a tambayan room where people could decompress, as that is our general mandate, you know, to promote mental health amongst the Filipinx community. If you've never been to a conference, while it can be fun, it can also be stressful, since there's just so many activities and you have to try to keep on schedule, going from one workshop to the next workshop. You know, for some people too, it can also be overwhelming as you meet so many people. So if you're more on the introverted side of things, you might feel a bit drained. That's why the tambayan room is so necessary, and we saw many people come in to take a breather, whether on the yoga mats we laid out, shouts to Lululemon for sponsoring us, by the way, or, you know, in the creativity room in the back where we had things like Play-Doh and coloring sheets, courtesy of Alan Matudio, creator of the Kasama graphic novel, you know, for people who wanted a more tactile way of relaxing between workshops. Besides that, Centre Capua also had our table in the community symposium where we got our hustle on and sold merch. Overall, I feel it was a fun weekend, and personally, I got to meet a lot of Filipinos and organizations from across Canada. Actually, it was my first Pinoys on Parliament, but it definitely won't be the last, and I can't wait for POP 2025. Shouts to Kabangka Canada for putting together such a great event. Speaking of events, let's go over some community announcements. So mark your calendars and alika na. First off, tomorrow, this Thursday, February 29, the Refugee Center welcomes refugees, asylum seekers, and community members with families to join their free movie night. This event is designed to offer families a dedicated time to gather and enjoy a movie, providing a break from the challenges of everyday life. The featured film will be Encanto, presented in Spanish, English, and French. To register, make sure to check out their Instagram page at the Refugee Center for all the details of the schedule. I've actually seen Encanto, and I loved it. It's been a long time, but I definitely recommend it. So yeah, check this event out. Once again, at the Refugee Center. Next up, actually the same day, this Thursday, February 29, join us for Santa Kapwa's own Kartahan's monthly Philippine X Artist Tambayan with Ka Collective from 6 p.m. onwards at Shift Concordia. Whether you call yourself an artist or you're flirting with the title, come and hang out with other Philippine X creatives. You know, just hang out, talk process, or just have some merienda while you meet other people. The next day, Friday, March 1st, Santa Kapwa also will be at Santa Green for Dumpling Dialogues, a free workshop with Chef Andre Mejia on Instagram, Eats by Dre or Dre's Pies. And he will guide us through making lumpia from scratch while we discuss the importance of preserving culture through food with our executive director and Radio Kapwa host, Fran Stoner. For more info, visit their Instagram page at Santa Green to register. This is actually part of a workshop series, and I was at the first one when they did, when Santa Green held a workshop on making dumplings. So it was, I can definitely say it was a fun event. And if you're going, you know, it's probably a good idea to bring Tupperware for leftovers. That same day, March 1st, Chalet Kent will be offering a free capoeira course for 11 to 18-year-olds from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. You will learn Afro-Brazilian martial arts with a capoeira professional every Friday. You can check out their Instagram page, Chalet Kent, for more information. Also Friday, P10 is hosting the first part of Writing Out Loud, facilitated by Harar Hall on Instagram. That is goldtintedglasses_ from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at 10138 Rue La Jeunesse Suite 301 for young adults ages 18 to 25. This two-part writing and spoken word workshop series, designed and facilitated by Harar Viejal, will help youth harness their sensory and lived experiences into spoken word pieces. For more info, visit their Instagram page at queerartsp10 and P10 Montreal. So that's for the Friday. Next day on the Saturday, March 2, P10 will also be offering a sewing magic series with V, Instagram nano.machina, for young adults ages 18 to 25 years old from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the same location, which is 10138 Rue La Jeunesse Suite 301. To register, visit their Instagram page also at queerartsp10. That same day, again Saturday, March 2, Usant Les Asiatiques, also known as Where Are the Asians, is back for their 10th edition. This time, they are partnered with IA Foundation MTL and organizing their biggest space yet, Chinatown House. In addition to the potluck connection vibes, a few extra activities are lined up. There will be Mahjong hosted by My Chinatown MTL, as well as a karaoke session hosted by Team.Siberia, and more surprises to come. For more info, visit their Instagram page at Usant Les Asiatiques. Finally, from March 15 to 16, the Black Symposium Noir will be held at Maison de la Culture Côte des Neiges. This conference program features selected paper presentations and roundtables grounded in this year's theme, Black Radical Thought and Praxis in Montreal. Stay tuned to be in the know. With that said, it's the end of February as we close off Black History Month. We had some amazing Black Center guests this month, such as our friend Omilani Alarcon, the Afro-Filipina, Katya Aso from the Black Healing Center, and Sabine Montpierre, the founder of L'Arbre des Voyageurs. However, even though Black History Month is finished, that doesn't mean we have to end our support. Remember, show allyship. Continue to learn about Black history and issues. As we always say at Radio Kapwa, liberation for one is liberation for all. And on that note, I'd like to say peace out. This is Fanny Cristo, and you've been listening to Radio Kapwa on 90.3 FM CKUT. See you next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m.
listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Yayo, Africa. Wasa, 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 wasa lele.
Wasa lele.
Yayo, Africa.
Wasa lele.
Wasa, 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 wasa lele.
step is up.
Radio with Widget and my man Pro V.
All the way live from University.
Here, Montreal.
On CKUT.
Nobody doing better, dog.
90.3 FM.
Gone. CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.
This program is uncut. It contains strong language and some adult situations. Discretion is advised.